Well, a very good evening to you, and thanks again for tuning in to Terrace Talk this evening here on Radio Kerry. Here with you from 6 to 8, and it's Ivan Hurley in the hot seat. It's not Donal Barry with a cold. We've given Donal the week well-deservedly off this evening. So it's Ivan Hurley with you from 6 to 8. We've got an action-packed show, as always, here on Terrace Talk, with a right mix of various different guests and sports to go through between now and 8 o'clock this evening. Coming up, we look back on Kerry's trip to Kildare. That was in the National Hurling League Division 2A. A disappointment on the road for them, but they have booked their place in the league semi-final. We'll be chatting to Restardo Ferran and James McCarthy very shortly. Of course, yesterday evening we heard of the tragic passing of Kerry man Liam Kearns. We'll talk to Liam Lynch of the Kerry County Board and John Kennedy as well on his legacy. Well, rallying returns to Tralee in 2 weeks' time as the Circuit of Kerry is set to run for the first time in 4 years in the town, so a welcome boost to Tralee at this time of year. We'll be talking to the deputy clerk of the course for that rally a little later on. Well, it was a successful weekend for two Kerry sides on the field and on the court as well. St. Pat's School of Castle Island, they're the All-Ireland C champions, while the St. Paul's ladies basketballers secured the Southern Conference title on Saturday night, and they'll be in to the playoff semi-final next week, so we'll catch up with two of the players from there. Of course, you watch the rugby, Ireland are just one step away from that Grand Slam now. Massive game against England next Saturday, Paddy's weekend against England in Dublin for a Grand Slam. It has everything written all about it, so we'll talk to Jay Galvin a little later on about Ireland, maybe a couple of injury worries for them ahead of that one. And of course, it was a difficult weekend as well for Kerry FC. They went down to Galway United on Friday night. Of course, they're looking good now for promotion out of the SSE Artricity First Division, and we'll chat to Jonathan Higgins, who I met at the game actually on Friday night in Eamon DC Park, and he'll have a little chat about Galway and maybe what's to come for Kerry. Of course, were you at any game over the weekend we didn't mention, or maybe at the ones that we did mention, you can of course give Keane a call this evening. It's Keane this evening, not me taking the phone calls. It's 066 7123 666. Of course, you can get a text or a WhatsApp into us as well on 083 300 3300. Of course, very important that our listeners' comments are on the show. Terrace Talk, what makes the show here on Terrace Talk, getting into listening to all the various different comments from you, the listeners. So do get in touch with us this evening if you have any comments or something you want to share regarding the weekend or anything like that, regarding fixtures or results, or of course if you have any memories of Liam Kearns as well, get them into us. 083 300 3300. You can call 066 712 3666. But to Kildare and how the Kingdom went down 220 to 21 points in the Addians Hurling League Division 2A. Of course, this was the penultimate round of games in the league, but a draw between Down and Derry has meant Kerry are secure now to get that semi-final place. They'd either be travelling to Kildare or Offaly for that semi-final. So I'd say we'll be joined shortly by Restardo Ferran, but we're joined now by former Kerry hurler James McCarthy. James, good evening, welcome back to the show, how are you?
Thank you, Ivan, all good now.
All good. Look, defeat in Kildare, I mean, look, I suppose if I told you that, you know, Kerry were going to go down to Kildare maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you might have believed me, but Kildare very, very strong this year and looking good as well. But look, Kerry into semi-final and a complete dead rubber next week against Down.
It is. It's a pity, really, isn't it? Kind of, you wonder what way you're going to go into that game. The mindset's going to be a bit off. So you probably as well have to run your bench, Ivan, and see, can you pull a fella from maybe the reserves, and maybe he shows up well against Down, and maybe he's worth a spot then the following week. But as you say, Kildare do seem to be on the up. Kildare hurling seems to be taking a good upper trajectory. And like, we're hoping that's where Kerry will be going. Like, but you know, it was always really hard up there, but you thought it was an acid test too. I know you kind of said, right, where are we? And we're kind of left with more questions than answers, tell you the truth, really.
Yeah, look, Newbridge obviously is never easy to go, but you know, if Kerry were serious about getting out of Division 2A, you'd have to say, you know, a win in Kildare would be important. But as you say, look, Kildare definitely getting things right. You know, underage are looking strong, the couple of the schools as well playing the various different hurling competitions. The hurling in the county seems to be growing. Is it growing at a faster rate than hurling in Kerry?
I think it is, Ivan, and do you know what it's down to nearly as well? It's it's a numbers game, really. I know you like from our own experience now, Kilmaine played Neil. A town like Neil's is 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. They have the numbers, and you can see. I won't call them super clubs now, but they're at big clubs in Kildare, and they're big hurling clubs, and they're surrounded the area they're in, and even they talk about their underage leagues playing in Kilkenny leagues and all that kind of thing. And it seems a good structure going up there. Maybe we ourselves, we thought we had our own structures good here, like, but maybe, you know, it needs to get another kick in these other injections somewhere, because we seem to have all the players in McCarrick at the minute. Usually you talk about maybe we'll miss some players or injuries and whatever, and that's suspension, but all we're missing less or maybe is one or two. We have what we have. We kind of have to, you know, because Phyllis has to dig themselves out of a hole now. We put ourselves in a smaller hole, not a hole. So we'll still make a semi-final, but we got to show up. We have two games. We could, like, the down game, all right, they did, rubber, don't worry about that, but we have two games, could possibly define our season, Ivan, really, and then, you know, put in two big performances, and you could still be in Division 1B. Like, that's just something that's there. The carrot is still there, as they say.
Yeah, look, it's definitely within touching distance, and I've said it a long time. I think Division 1 is where Kerry belong in hurling. Look, I'll bring Richard in on this one. Look, Richard, you're welcome to the show. Look, I was looking at listening to the game the weekend here, of course, with Michael Halloran and Andrew Morrissey, of course, great commentary as always. Shane Conway, 10 points, the free taking was back on track for him as well.
Yeah, Shane, you know, I suppose I mentioned it on the previous programme that it's great to see Shane coming back, because, you know, we know the ability that Shane has, and he had a fantastic second half the last day. It was also obviously great to see Jason Diggins coming back as well. So, but we're a second half team, which is very worrying. We put in a good second half performance against Offaly and the same against Kildare now, but, you know, at half time we were down a good bit, so we left ourselves with a mountain to climb, and that won't do, you know. So it is sure that when we pushed up in the second half that we are capable of scoring, we are capable of inflicting damage, but perhaps I'd like to have seen more of that in the first half. We were very cagey in the first half, playing out from the back. So really we have the ability to do it, we show that, especially in the second half against Offaly, but we need to be more consistent, Ivan.
Yeah, no, listening back yesterday, I remember saying that this, you know, I think it was 17 minutes of the first half up to half time, no score for Kerry. Like, that definitely is a worry, Richard.
Oh, absolutely it is, you know, and we have to address that. And obviously, as a result of that, then Kildare were striking well, and we went in with, you know, they were well ahead at half time. And then you're trying to claw that back. Now, we put in a great second half performance, like we did against Offaly. But when you're down a good bit at half time, you know, you're playing catch up. And that was the situation again last Saturday. Now, we played really well in the second half, but we left ourselves with a mountain to climb, and we couldn't close the gap.
Yeah, it's definitely something you have to look at, and especially going into the, it's hard to believe we're saying it in March, but the business end now of the hurling season, because, you know, myself and Andrew were just chatting before he went out of the building that if Kerry got to a semi-final and the league final, they're out in the Joe McDonough the following week as well. So it's all helter-skelter. And James, just on that point, look, I mean, this game against Down now on Sunday, you're talking maybe getting a couple of lads in from reserves. Is that more important now, the fact that, you know, if you do get to that semi-final and win, it's straight through into the Joe McDonough, so there's kind of no break, or does Stephen Malumphy try use his players to see, you know, can they get better in that first half maybe?
Yeah, and maybe even, as you say, change the system. Go at it from, like we started the same thing. I think just go at it from minute one. I just into the tank with whatever lads you have on Sunday. Give them a break if you have to. If you have to even start, we call it the first 15, Evan. Start your first 15, go at it, hammer and tongs it down, and see where you are at half time. Then judge from there. Maybe, hang on, let's not be so cagey in our future. Let's not leave ourselves a mountain to climb. And let's not go 17 and 20 minutes. We 20 minutes against Offaly, Ivan, 17 against Kildare without a score. That's not good. You've got to be ticking over somewhere. You've got to be ticking over somewhere in there, and maybe we're being, I won't say ultra defensive, but maybe we've got to kick on a little bit. Just kick on, go at them, size them up. Now, we've sized up Offaly and we've sized up Kildare. We know what they are. So maybe this is where Stephen Lumpy now is. He's coming to his own out here, and he has to kind of say, okay, that might work for us. We cannot give these guys a lead like we do like that. We got to go at them, and right, test them, because when they do go at these teams, as Richard said, we can cause them problems. We're a good team up front. We got to get more ball up there. We got to get it away out of our back as quickly as possible. Because I don't think that playing the ball out of our defence suits our style. I'm not sure. Maybe we need more time maybe to work on that, but I don't think it suits our style at the minute. So I think, you know, go at it, hammer and tongs down and see where you are and use some lads that you have to. Use maybe the first 15, bring in a couple of good lads at halftime, see who you want to see for the semi-final, test out a few lads and see where you are, I think.
You know, we mentioned a dead rubber, but it's far from a dead rubber for Down. I mean, look, they're coming down trying to get a result. Derry will try to get a result against Carlow as well. You know, there's a place in Division 2A on the line as well. So, I mean, you know, if Kerry think they're going to go into a game against Down, it's a dead rubber for us. Like, I'm sure Down are going to bring a massive test for Kerry as well.
That's a fact. You're going to know you're a Downer. Like, as you say, they want to play in Division 2A Hurling. They don't want to go back down to Division 2B, as you say. So, I guarantee you they're going to bring a real force with them. And like, remember, Ivan, they beat us in Tralee last year, so there's no saying they won't do it again this year. Like, so it's a hard game to call for us now, for ourselves. Like, you're going to take Murphy now, kind of sitting down during the week. I won't say we've got scratching his head, people thinking, right, we've seen Kildare and Offaly, right, that's what we're looking at, but we have a game here now on Saturday or Sunday, sorry. What are we going to do here? Who are we going to look at? And maybe, as you said, Jason Diggins back, give him maybe the full 60. Give guys that are coming in now, maybe guys you want to look at, say, right, he'll be a base in our team. Try something, just try new things, like. But as you say, because Down will bring a test. Down are going to bring their, and like, that's where you've got to be. Maybe, like, I don't care if we go back up to Kildare again. That's prove yourself then again. That'd be a right one now. If we were to go back up to Kildare for a semi final against Kildare again, up on Kildare, they have a home venue, and turn them over up there. That could be a real turning point in your season, Evan. Just really go at them and have a go at them up there, and then you'd be Joe McDonough in the final, at the league final, Joe McDonough. They'd be a pep in your step. You'd see where you are then, because it's not beyond this. But we got really big in now.
Absolutely really. Not. And look, you know, we're saying Kildare, like Offaly and Kildare, the winner of that will be directly in. So, I mean, you couldn't write off Kildare beating Offaly either. But, I mean, looking at Kildare, if we do end up travelling up there, James, it won't be on in Newbridge, because that's being closed up now after the football game the weekend. So, I'm sure Kildare will bring us to some lovely pitch up there to give us a right rattle.
Another Ibrox, I say. Another Ibrox. We call it that. It's going to be tight. It's going to be. You really just gather yourself now. Just gather your whole team. Gather your lads, and they know the focus should be there now for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Richard, what do you think? You know, look, as we say, dead rubber against Down, but is it important that Kerry get back to winning ways before semi final and into, as I say, the business end of the hurling season?
Well, I hope Down bring a strong team, and I hope that they really give us a good rattle. We need it. We don't want a one-sided game against Down or something, for sure. Not that we will, from last year's experience, that we will get it. Mm-hmm. But I think Down, it would be great if Down gave us a good rattle and really tested us, because we need that. We need a good game because, you know, and a game where we probably won't be as defensive, as James says, that we would be a bit more attacking, because I think even against Carlow, we were very defensive. I didn't think that we needed to be. But I think that we should allow the lads to attack, because we have some great attacking forward inside. Get the ball into them and let them do their magic inside, because they are very, very able. But we need to get the ball into them. So against Down, I hope we get a really good challenge against Down next Sunday, and it'll prepare us well for the semi-final.
Do you go full strength for it, Richard?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I think so. I think you need to put in a strong team, for the simple fact that I think you need to develop a cohesion within the team. Yes, you can try lads out, but I think, you know, cohesion is very, very, we need to try lads out, but you also need cohesion, and you need to knit as a unit. So I think, yes, we put in a strong team. Yes, we bring in the lads, especially the lads who come back from injury. I would like to see the likes of Jason Diggins, Keith Carmody, and obviously Jordan Conway getting more game time in preparation. So I think, yes, we need to put a strong team and see where we are and let that team go in with confidence to the semi-final.
James, how important, you know, is getting out, like, we're talking very far ahead of ourselves here, we know we're in the semi-final, but, like, you know, if Kerry were to go on and have a good year, as we're saying, and maybe win the Joe McDonough a little later on in a couple of months' time, how important would it be for Kerry to be in Division 1 facing into the likes of a Munster Championship next year?
I think I've been beating this drum now, I probably sound like people are getting sick of me saying this, but I think it's vital. It's absolutely vital. And we're at a crossroads. And like, there's only, as you know, there's left and right in the crossroads. That's where it might be straight on, but whatever. You have a couple of choices. You can either stay where you are, stagnate, and you know what happens with Kerry Hurling. I've been there a lot of years myself. you can lose players. Players can lose interest and can fall away. You have your best team at the minute. You have the best players in the country available to you. So why not try and make that step to Division 1B? And like we fell a talk about Joe McDonough, that to me is not a priority at all. At all at the minute. I know fellas say, yes, back in the Munster Championship. Be careful what you wish for. My God, no. Be careful what you wish for at the minute with the Munster Championship. We're not ready for that yet. We're nowhere near ready for that yet. I'd like to see us in Division 1B for a year before we go near that. And that would be an asset test for us. Play 1B, play. Like you saw, Antrim Leash last weekend had a right good game above. Antrim beat them. Like you could come up against like the Galways, maybe Kilkenny's, maybe just teams that are in the 1B setup. Maybe Clare down the next year, maybe. They're the teams, like even have a cut off then. Maybe they beat you by 10 points. I'd rather be beaten by 10 points by Clare than be beaten by 6 by Kildare. There's a gulf there, like there's a gulf. Mm-hmm. And if that's, you have got to look at, you've got to try to say, fellas, can we take our beatings there and see what we learn from that, and then go into maybe as a Joe McDonough team next year, full of confidence, playing 1B teams all year, then really come in, right, here we are, this is us now. High, well, we might take a few beatings, but you're playing at a higher level and you know what yourself. It's like you see horses in Cheltenham this week. Ivan, if you're into the horses, horses have been running at grade 1 races, grade 2 races, they'll be in trouble. Get back down to their own grades in 3 and 4, and they're light years ahead of what's there. Kerry could be the same. Kerry could be the exact same, and I guess they've got to get up there. I don't think this Joe McDonough is not an option. Just leave that off. I will leave it off. My focus will be Lee. That's my thing.
No, but like, no, I fully agree. But like, my thinking of it is, you know, and it's only a person viewing. Is if Kerry were to go on and be stronger throughout the year and you know get over that line in the Joe McDonough final, like these couple of weeks to me here now are extremely crucial for Kerry hurling, because if you are going to win that Joe McDonough and get into your Munster Championship, like I think you have to be playing Division 1, and you know, it's not to put pressure on anyone or anything like that, don't get me wrong, but you know, we're at that stage now where we've got you know, a game to kind of test ourselves out before a semi-final and a league final. I just think these weeks could be absolutely crucial for, you know, the next year or two of Kerry hurling and into a league final, and you know, you want to go out and win every game you go out in, but I think, you know, these couple of weeks here are absolutely crucial to the rest of the year and looking into next year as well. We might park the senior hurlers for a while. Rashad, I might come back to you on this one. Look, the Kerry Camogie team, it's fantastic to see them do so well. I think it's 3 wins and a draw now in the Division 2A of the Camogie League. It's great to see them do well, and especially all the way up to Derry and get a big win up there as well.
Never easy to go up to Derry, and Derry are, and I know a lot of the Derry girls from my work in the Irish language, and they're fine Camogie players, and love their Camogie up there. But you know, what a brilliant win again. As I said before, these girls are punching above their weight. You know, the amount of training they're putting in is crazy. I don't think anybody realizes the dedication that these ladies show to mm-hmm. their sport, and to go all the way to Derry and to win. So they're absolutely flying, and great credit to them. And our minors won as well yesterday at Mayo. So yeah, great days for Kerry Camogie.
You know, it's actually a very interesting time for Camogie in the county. I mean, I see it going on social media, and Killarney is going very strong. You know, we've seen Clare and everything they're doing there. You know, it's great to see, look, that they're in Fitzgerald Stadium for their last 2 home games. It's, you know, it's great to see Camogie get that kind of step up and that coverage as well.
Absolutely brilliant, because they deserve it, you know. As I said, you know, the amount of work they put in is unbelievable, and they show great commitment, and they deserve every bit of it. And as I say, great days ahead for Kerry Camogie.
Absolutely. We'll turn our heads to the county leagues, lads. It's great to see them back. It's, you know, awful early in the year to have 2 rounds of the county league played already. It's great to see. I won't mention anything from my own involvement with Dr. Crokes, but James, a win for Kilmaidy and a draw as well. Ballyhigh off to a losing start as well, but it's great to see club hurling back and competitive, James.
It is, and you know, it's the base of every county, you know yourself. I mean, your club lads, they're going to be there all year. Like, we have, it's an advantage to you now at the minute if you don't have any county players. Like, we played Aberdoyle, you know, last week with a draw, and they have no actual players in the county at the minute. We have 2-3 lads, like, but I thought they were sharp. It was surprising, Ivan. When I see the clubs now, it's come down so far. The sharpest in the clubs is quite good at the minute. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the clubs are bought into early season training. I know yourself, like you play Ballyduff, and they're like, Ballyduff are going well too. they've done a lot of work as well. You probably saw yourself firsthand. There's a sharpness there within the club scene at the minute, which is good for the county. And just talking about that, even with Kerry set up as well, like the fellas with the Kerry under 20s, there's a lot of good young players. I can see them around there as well. You see them in a lot of club games, you'll see a lot of younger lads are in there, probably guys just coming out of minor. This is where they should be blooded. When they say the county players aren't within the club teams, it's a chance to blood your younger players, lads coming out of minors, because there is a big step at the minute coming from minor to senior. And there's going to be some interesting games there. You've 7 or 8 games in a row, like, and it builds up nicely to the championship itself. Like, Kilmaile are just tipping away nicely at the minute. Then we got 20 points last Saturday, or last Sunday against, against McNeil. Tough game, like, but it's going to be, we'll be thereabouts again. Like, it's hard to judge. You know, if I need games, are going to be hard to judge. Like, but it's good to see games played, like, and get them done.
Yeah.
You're going to run into county games with Kerry, like, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, I think the league is definitely one that needs to be taken, you know, serious. You're up against, look, you've got 9 senior clubs and they're all in Division 1 this year. It's after change around after the couple of COVID years, if we can call them that, of different teams in different divisions. But look, Richard, it's a couple of draws in there already. It's going to be a fine competitive league for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it is. And looking at the results so far, you know, we've had some great games. We played Causeway in the first game. Do you know what I mean? You know, we battled all the way to the end, but I suppose the Causeway experience told in the end. But you know, it's great for, as James said there, we've a few under 20 players as well, and you know, it's great experience for them. And you know, so far we've had some great games and high scoring games and great players on show. And you know, it bodes well for the future Kerry hurling. These lads can be brought on, these young players, and be kept within the fold. And hopefully they'll wear the green and gold, you know what I mean? But as I said, there has been a lot of work done by the teams, and that's quite clear to see in the game so far.
It's very hard to predict the winner for the senior championship at this stage, but it's great to see the hurling back and everything else. Look, lads, we leave it there. We've been chatting hurling for long enough. I'll get the boot off Donal next week if he hears I was chatting hurling for 23 minutes on the show. But look, as ever, thanks very much for joining us, lads, and we'll catch up with you again soon when Kerry are back in those league finals, hopefully, and back into the Joe McDonagh as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Brilliant stuff. That's James McCarthy there, and Richard Ferran as well, joining us on the hurling chat. It's great to see the leagues back up and like that. Kerry into an Allianz League semi-final against either Kildare or Offaly. Of course, Kildare and Offaly taking on each other next weekend at 1 o'clock on Sunday in Tullamore. So the loser of that one will face Kerry in a semi-final. The winner automatically through, so technically a semi-final in its own right, but the loser will have a second chance. So if you have any views on the Kerry hurling performance, I suppose, look, there's a couple of different things about the first half and maybe Kerry not getting into things till the second half. Were you in Kildare, were you at the game, or were you listening to it here on Radio Kerry? Let us know. You can give us a call, 066 712 3666, or you can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. You can give us a tweet at Terrace Talk RK. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley in for Donal this evening. Just to go to the text lines for a moment. Kerry Camogie, great win against Derry in Derry. Yeah, we gave that a mention with Richard. Fantastic start to them in their season as well in the league, so thanks for that. Let's be very honest, the team set up is all wrong for Kerry. Where the forwards, no ball can go in there and they're left to shoot from a distance. Passing game falling down at the 65. Why is he not taking players off that he should be taking off? Big changes are needed. Yeah, look, that's one viewpoint on it. I mean, look, the most positive thing I think to take from the game is that we're into the semi-final with a game to spare, and I'm sure Stephen Malumphy and his management team will give it a right go over the next couple of weeks to see can we make it into that league final. We can never have a go as long as we've no forwards. If you've no forwards, you can't put the ball in. Relatively unfair comment, I think. You know, going by the last couple of games, I thought the forwards have played well enough, my own view anyway. Look, everyone has entitlement to their view on it, but look, again, I think the most positive thing to take out of the clash against Kildare is that Kerry are into that semi-final. Okay, albeit down to other results, but again, as the lads mentioned, Kildare very, very strong this year, stronger than what we might be used to seeing Kildare hurling for the last couple of years. You can of course get your view in on it. It's 083 300 3300 on text or WhatsApp, or you can call Cian there on 066 712 3666. Well, the GAA was reeling on last night following confirmation of the sudden death of Offaly football manager and Tralee man Liam Kearns. He passed away following a sudden illness on Sunday night, aged 60. Well, Kerry GAA released, or Kerry GAA rather, released this statement on Twitter last night. The Kerry GAA are deeply saddened to learn of the passing of Liam Kearns. A GAA great and a proud Austin Stacks man, Liam represented Kerry at Minor, where he won an All-Ireland medal in 1980, under 21 and senior level, wearing the green and gold as a panellist in the 1986 All-Ireland winning squad. And more recently, Liam was experienced success in a managerial role with Limerick, Tipperary and Leash, and currently as Bannister with Offaly. Sympathies to his wife Angela, daughters Rachel and Laura, and all their family. I think everybody here in Radio Kerry echo those sentiments. On the line now, we've got our own Terrace Talk analyst John Kennedy, of course, former Kerry footballer who would have shared a dressing room with Liam for a time, as well as the Kerry GAA vice chairman and Ostex clubman, Liam Lynch. Gents, you're welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you,
Liam. Look, unfortunately, that you've gone on a night like this, but Liam, look, sum up, you know, a sense of shock and sadness in the county really today.
Absolutely, Ivan, and thanks a million for the opportunity to say a few words about, as you said, a fellow Rocky and a Kerry man. From being in Tralee during the day and receiving countless phone calls and texts, it's been apparent the black pall of sadness, you know, that has stretched over the Stacks, over Kerry and over the entire organisation. It's been palpable. This morning when I walked in, I just went back and counted afterwards from the length of Castle Street from St. John's to AIB, which is no more than 150 yards. I had 9 different conversations with people who wanted to stop and share their shock and disbelief. And I was just thinking over lunchtime, you know, what about Liam's legacy? And the first thing that came to mind to me were the goals way back at the GAA founders back in, you know, the sunny Saturday in Hayes Hotel in 1884. The vision they had was, I suppose, for an organisation that would be a leader in all communities, a group that gave its members a sense of identity and belonging, but it needed people who were going to be leaders, drivers and volunteers to get there. Mm-hmm. And when you look back at what, even at what Liam Kearns has achieved since pulling on his first black and amber juvenile jersey, there's no doubt to my mind that Cusack, Davin and the rest back in Thurles 139 years ago would be immensely proud of what he achieved. When you look at you know, the little, I wouldn't say the little things, the long legacy and the long list of what Liam has done, a leader in the field with our own club in the Stacks, being the mainstay of our last county championship win in 1980 in minor, mm-hmm. winning a senior championship in 86, won an All-Ireland minor title, an All-Ireland, you know, and played with green and gold at senior level. And then you got onto the managerial front, where perhaps were Liam's greatest achievements, the sense of identity and joy, going all the way back again to Cusack and Davin, that he brought to Limerick with successive firstly under 21 titles and an All-Ireland final against Tyrone, promotion to Division 1 when it was unheard of in Limerick, before beating Cork for the first time in almost 50 years, I think 16 points to 6 if I remember, and bringing Kerry to a fairly traumatic and nail-biting replay in 2004 rather, that none of us will ever forget. He then was instrumental, you know, if he was instrumental, if any individual, Ivan, was instrumental in just that alone, you'd say, listen, their place in folklore would be, in GAA folklore would be assured for the rest of their of history. But to perhaps even exceed that with Tipperary in the glorious run to the semi-final in 2016 mm-hmm. would be unimaginable for anybody. And as the banner said, I was just looking at it today, after they beat Galway in the quarter-final, this is dreamland for Tip. So Ivan, I suppose to sum it up, to my mind, when those well after us, whenever they come down, maybe in 2384 for the second 100 years anniversary of the GAA, when they reflect on the history of the organisation, I think the written words and even the spoken words are going to be extremely kind to Liam Kearns. I think going back to 1884, Liam Kearns was a leader, he was a volunteer, he was an inspirer, and he was also a creator of lifelong memories for followers, where perhaps even football dreams aren't often fulfilled. And I'd like to take the opportunity, I suppose, on behalf of the Kerry County Board, and also being a Rocky, to express our sympathies to his wife Angela, his daughters Rachel and Laura, his parents who I met this morning under the most tragic of circumstances, Ollie and Eileen, and to the entire Cairns family. I think we can only offer all our sincere sympathies on the loss of, I think what history will say is, a very great GA man.
Yeah, lovely words there, Liam. Look, I, as you say, look, reading a lot of the tributes today on various different platforms, I mean, he was definitely the embodiment of what you call a GA man, you know, volunteer, as you say, up along playing and into management as well. He's the, you know, as GA through and through, as you could imagine.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, and he, going back to, you know, he didn't just win in All-Ireland in 1980. He was the lead scorer with 714 when Kerry Miners, and it wasn't an ordinary Kerry Miner team. You just look at the team that was there. Mike McAuliffe, Willie Maher, Tom Spillane, Joe Shannon, your own Ambrose O'Donovan of that parish, and Tom Dee and many others. He stood out. He stood out for us as a Rocky, you know, with Mike Crowley, Mike Coonan and David Charles back in 1980 as well when they won the All-Ireland. But even in my own time back as chairman of the club, every event that we ever wanted Liam down for, every presentation, you know, it was, what time do I have to be there, Liam? I'll be there, no problem. And that, you know, he was a gentleman to the core, something that he would have got certainly from his own father, Ollie. And, you know, it's a very sad day for everybody in Kerry. But even as eloquently put last night on the Sunday game from Liam Sheedy and Don Logue, it's an extremely sad day for the organisation as well.
Absolutely. John Kennedy, thanks for taking the call this evening as well. You were meant to be off football duty this evening, but I couldn't leave a man go who would have shared a dressing room with Liam as well.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry to take the call in such tragic circumstances. Liam Kearns, I agree with you, a lot of what Liam has said there. Liam Kearns was an icon of the GAA, really. I was starring with him, I suppose, in 1980 to make the panel, which I didn't make for that year. I was on in 81. But Liam was a fantastic footballer. He was a great athlete. He was a superb kicker. I think Liam said it there, 7-14 in the campaign was exceptional. But he was hugely competitive. And I suppose that started a relationship between Liam and myself back in 1980-81. And it was no coincidence, I suppose, that both went on to manage teams. I managed Clare while he was in Limerick. He was never slow to air his views, and I think a lot of people respected him for that. He wasn't a yes man. He was a hugely organised guy. He was really ambitious and so passionate, and he was a real Rocky and a real Kerry man. Wherever he went, he never forgot us and Stacks or forgot Kerry. But I think, you know, on dark days, we've spoken about this, Liam Bross and myself, a number of times. We suffered a big defeat against Cork and another 21s down in Park Erin one night. And, you know, it was a bad place to be. It was a bad week for all of us. But the following day, I got a call from Kearns and we had a great chat. You know, when you come off the phone, you felt better. He empathised. He had been down that road a number of times with different teams himself. And, you know, that phone call and those phone calls meant an awful lot. What he did with the teams he was with has been well documented. He was hugely successful. What he did with Limerick, he brought them from the doldrums and the bottom of Division 4 in the National League up to be competitive, you know, so close against Kerry in Munster final winter replay in 2004. But he brought them up there, and he brought them to a level that they hadn't been at before. Brought Tipperary to an All-Ireland semi-final, so unlucky not to get over the line. And his legacy will live long after. You know, he was a great footballer, a great manager, but a great man-manager. I think he learned some of that maybe from the great Mick O'Dwyer. A lot of us did. That came across in that, you know, it has been spoken about in the last 24 hours that, you know, people talking about drinking bans and about discipline and that. Liam took a different view. He celebrated, and he wanted his team to celebrate when they succeeded and when they played. That bond and the respect that the players have for him is you know, it's unbelievable. I was down in West Limerick today. There was nothing talked about, only Liam Kearns. Huge shock, you know, disbelief, a larger than life character is granted his eternal award far too early.
You know, you mentioned there as a player and manager within the GAA world, what was he like as a person maybe away from the pitch? I'm sure you had your encounters outside of the Gaelic games as well, John.
Yeah, he was a gentleman. He was a down to earth guy. He came down to people's level, and he had an ear for people if they had something to say, and he spoke to people when they needed to be spoken to. You know, we became great friends along with another great friend of his, John Ryan in Limerick. I came across them, we had a few duels when I was with Clare. But you know, he was a fantastic guy, and you know, a lot of people when they pass away, they're all great people, but this is genuine. Liam Kearns was hugely competitive. You know, he left no stone unturned. When the game was on, Kearns went into a different mode. But when the final whistle went, he shook the hand. I remember playing them in a Munster Championship. Shook the hand. I talked to you during the week, and he did. And that was Liam Kearns.
Lovely words, John, and Liam Lynch as well. Look, lads, I appreciate you, you know, taking the time. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, it's so raw to everybody and everybody who knew him as well. So I really appreciate you both coming on this evening and giving your memories of Liam Kearns as well. It's very much appreciated.
Thanks,
Ivan. That's Liam Lynch there, of course, the Kerry GAA vice chairman and a club member of Aston Stacks, and our own John Kennedy as well from the Terrace Talk team. I wanted to play this clip. I was going through Twitter a little earlier on today, browsing on the lunch hour, and it's from Shane Stapleton. The clip goes back to July 2022, but Shane retweeted it a little earlier on about the sad passing of Liam Kearns as well. And of course, it was a live show in on Pucón as well, and it was Liam Kearns telling a story of a time that he was managing a team in Tipperary, club team Aherlow, on the Our Game podcast series. And this is just a clip of Liam telling a story about one of the players that he was managing at the time in Aherlow in County Tipperary. Have a listen to this.
Liam, of all the players that you've managed over the years, you must have come across some unusual characters and some funny situations. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, there was one that we was in Aherlow, and they're a hard crowd to handle, the crowd in Aherlow, if you know them in Tipperary. But anyway, one particular guy, he's Kieran MacDonald, he played for me. He'd be one of the best cornerbacks I ever had, but his brother was on the team, and he was a little bit eccentric, we'll just say. And anyway, he was late for the match. We were playing a county semi-final, and out came, and we were at the top end warming up, and the opposition were at the other side, and the ball, Chris anyway, hit it straight down to the other side and started kicking around with the opposition. And we had to tell him to come on up. He had to be called. He had actually taken a couple of kicks, and he started realising, hold on a minute, I don't recognise any of these guys. But we called him anyway, and he came on up. And the irony of it is that he's an airline pilot now. He flies plane for a living. But I can tell you this, if I'm on any plane and his name is mentioned as a pilot, I'm getting off. Yeah, he was a character, and actually he's...
Yeah, so that's Liam Kearns is telling one of the stories of his time in management. I think it's a nice clip to play because it's what the lads were saying. He's just that type of a character, of course. And look, massive sympathies to his wife Angela, daughters Rachel and Laura, and all their family from all here in Terrace Talk and in Radio Kerry as well. Arias Day Garev on him. If you have any memories of Liam or want to get a comment in, it is 083 300 3300. Hi Ivan, it's very sad to hear Liam Kearns has passed away. My condolences to his family and friends. He got the best out of every team he managed. I'll never forget that Munster final in 2004 when his Limerick team very nearly beat Kerry, and then they pushed Kerry all the way in the replay too. That's from Charles, and thanks for that, Charles, and the text in this evening. I must say well done to Pat Murphy, who had a great win in the Leinster Championship in race walking on Saturday last. Yeah, I heard that mentioned on the sports show over the weekend. Well done to you, Pat, a man we had on the show at some stage during the second half of last year, I think. So Pat, definitely due another appearance on Terrace Talk. He's doing very well in the race walking series up and down the country, so very well done to you, Pat, as well. Just to give you a taster of what's to come up in the second hour. Of course, we mentioned earlier on Ireland on for that Grand Slam now against England. Just one win away from winning the Grand Slam in a year that's very important to rugby in the World Cup year. We'll chat to Jay Galvin a little bit about that later on. We'll have the St. Pat's Castleidan. Of course, they're All-Ireland sea champions. Their fantastic win the weekend. We'll have a couple of the lads in studio talking about the game and see the cup they've brought home as well. And of course, we mentioned earlier on as well about St. Paul's ladies. They won the Southern Conference of the Women's Division 1 in the basketball, so they're on for a playoff semi-final this weekend and hopefully a final berth as well. We'll chat to two of the players who helped them over the line on Saturday evening to get the top spot in the Southern Conference, and we'll chat a little bit about Kerry FC a little later on as well. But coming up after this quick break, we'll tell you all about a rally that's coming to Tralee in just 2 weeks' time.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hey, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley in for Donal Barry this evening up until 8 o'clock. Time now to chat a bit of motorsport, and no better man to chat to than Sean Moriarty. It's the Rose Hotel Circuit of Kerry Rally is on the way back to Tralee after a 4-year absence. It's the 44th running of the event, and it's all based in around Tralee on the weekend of April 1st and 2nd. Sean is the deputy clerk of the course for the event, and he joined us on the phone now. Sean, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk. How are you?
It's great to be back talking motorsport on Radio Kerry and Terrace Talk, Ivan. Yeah, you're dead right. It's the 44th running of the Circuit of Kerry Rally. Great to have the event back for the first time in 4 years. Pandemics and event rotation rules and whatnot conspired against Kerry Motor Club to mean that the rally has not run since 2019. It's also hard to believe that it's 5 years since we had a national championship rally in Kerry. This year's rally is the second round of the Triton Showers National Series, and you have to go back all the way to 2018 since the last time Kerry Motor Club hosted a round of the National Rally Championship.
Yeah, no, it's as you say, it's great to have it back, and you know that national championship attracts some of the top drivers in the country just to a 1 day event, so it'll be great to have it back. Look, tell us a small bit about it without giving too much information away. We've got 9 stages on over 1 day, so it's going to be a competitive day for crews, I'd imagine, and a tough day for them as well.
Yeah, Sunday, April 2nd is the big day of the rally, of course. 9 stages in kind of the general Cordell, Knocklagossal area. Familiar enough stages, but with a few added twists, a few new roads added in here and there to spice it up a little bit. As I say, it's been 4 years since we've been in this locality anyway, so it's great to go back there. Always very welcoming, and we have to thank the residents of the area who've been supportive and very helpful over the last couple of weeks. They've been visited a few times in the last couple of weeks just to go through the various road closure orders and things like that, and we're getting great support out there, and a big thank you to them. Big thank you too, of course, to the Roads Department and Kerry County Council, who are working very hard to help us get the all-important road closure, and Tralee Chamber Alliance as well, who've kind of come in to help get another kind of side event off the ground, and I speak briefly of that now. If you cast your mind back to 2019, where we had the Rally Town event in Tralee Town Centre on the Saturday, April 1st. Now, we're going to bring that back this year. It's going to be from roughly 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 1st, put maybe the top 20 rally cars on static display in the town, invite members of the public to have a look, get up close and personal to the rally cars, meet the drivers, just kind of showcase the sport, bring it into the heart of the town. And a very special thanks to John Cardigan and his family of Tralee Quickfit, who've kindly came in to sponsor that element of the rally. It's all about bringing the rally to the people. I suppose a few tricks that we've learned in European rallies over the years, that it's so important to bring this into the heart of the town, and the town is going to be very, very busy with, I'm already hearing reports that most hotel rooms are already booked up for the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say it, Sean. I mean, look, it's great to have the event back, obviously, you know, 4 year breaks, you say, between Motorsport Ireland, calendars and COVID and everything else. But, you know, you're hitting a time of the year where it's very important for, you know, a big event in Tralee, because, look, okay, St. Patrick's Day is kind of technically the start of the tour season, but I mean, you know, the first weekend in April, it's not a bank holiday weekend, it's not Easter weekend, you're not into the summer. Like, it's a huge boost to the town, and realistically to the county if you're heading out to Knocknagossal direction as well. Of course, it's going to be busy with hotel rooms and shops and everything else, so it's a huge kind of tourism boost and money into towns as well this time of year.
Yeah, and when you speak of tours there, like early indications suggest that we'll have a former Scottish champion, a former English champion, and a Welsh driver that previously won the Cerro de Kerry. So even though I suppose the rally today has the correct title of being the local international rally, we do always bring an international element to the Cerro de Kerry every year as well. And these are very important because you're showcasing the town. The rally has been used as a showcase to show these visitors what's happening, and they're telling their friends in their countries and the 32 counties of Ireland and further afield what's going on, and they're going to come back for different reasons. It's all about spreading the good word of Tralee and what Tralee has to offer. I mentioned the 32 counties. I mean, we're allowed to run 150 cars. There is reports from the entries department of the club that there's over 200 entries in already. I would not like to be a member of the seating committee that has to pick that down to the 150. But that'll tell you how popular it is. That'll tell you how it stands in Irish rallying that over 200 drivers and co-drivers want to put their name on the interlists of the Cerro de Kerry on April 1st and 2nd.
Yeah, no, look, it's definitely one of the events that stands out. And, you know, I think listening to a couple of the crews at the first round of the championship in Longford, they were saying they're looking forward to getting back down to Kerry and into the Kerry Motor Club run event. Look, I suppose it's definitely one that whets the appetite. Look, the leader of the championship after that round one is a Kerry clubman in Noel O'Sullivan. I'm, without revealing any entries prior to it, I'm sure that they'll be looking for a second win in the championship.
Well, I think one thing that's important to point out at this point as well is, yes, a lot of the national competitors were talking about the Cerro de Kerry in Longford. It's also around the Top Hart West Coast Rally Championship, which is a locally sponsored championship celebrating its 30th anniversary, and the Kingdom of Kerry Rally Championship. So you'd have drivers from all them three championships. But one of the key things that brings the drivers here is to the Rose Hotel, and it's often been voted by the competitors as the number one rally HQ in the country. Basically, the hotel is there with your office and various other facilities in the building, and you come straight out the front door of the hotel, and you've got this massive service park in the Fells Point area, and then the smaller car park down near the bottom is used as the trailer store for the weekend. So competitors love that kind of compact nature where they're not moving vehicles on Saturday evening or Saturday night, and everything kind of takes place in the Rose Hotel. And we're very thankful to Mark O'Sullivan and all the team down there for the way they support us, and it's great to be going back because Mark is kind of almost an honorary member of Kerry Motor Club at this stage, and he knows a lot of the drivers know him, and it's kind of a welcome back for everybody.
You've a launch of the rally coming up as well, Sean, I believe, do you?
Wednesday week, March 22nd, 7:30 p.m. of course in the Rose Hotel. You mentioned the entries there a few minutes ago, Ivan. We're going to maybe reveal the top 20 national contenders and the top 20 locals at that launch event. A few other little bits of news items will pop up there. It's a free event, it's open to the public. There'll be rally cars on display, there'll be a few people from the various championships there to talk about what they do, and there'll be I hope a few local rally drivers there as well for autographs and photographs and whatnot. But I suppose that's the first real key official first public event in the run up to the rally, followed by the launch on the night before, the Friday night, March 30th, the Friday night anyway before the rally, we've got the overseas visitors welcome reception in the Rose. Saturday is of course the scrutineering in Kelleher's Garage and the Rally Town event in the town centre, and Sunday is the competition itself. So it's kind of the March 22nd event is the real start of the run in. It's like the almost like the start of the Christmas shopping, if you like, as you run into the final 15 to 20 days before the rally.
The clock is against us a bit, like in rallying, Sean, but I have to mention this weekend as well as a busy weekend for some Kerry crews heading to West Cork. It's the second round of the Irish Tarmac series, and it's always one to watch on Paddy's weekend.
Absolutely, a massive Cork Motor Club have a massive entry for their simply-based event. I suppose the most interesting local entry is Craig Green, the World Rally Star, has coaxed Paul Nagle out of retirement again, and the pair are going to use the same Fort Sierra RS Cosworth that they used in the Clarny Historic Rally last December. I suppose we mentioned Nola Sullivan there. He's a local man that won the opening round of the Triton Showers National Rally Championship alongside Callum Devine. Devine O'Sullivan are also entered. I think they're the third seat for the rally. They're the kind of top locals, but there's as ever 20 or 30 crews going down making the trip to West Cork. The two clubs in the county are supplying volunteer marshals as well, so it's always a big occasion. The West Cork weekend kind of kickstarts the rally season in Munster, particularly the tarmac side of things. Bank holiday weekend, Clonakilty, it's a bit like first weekend in April, where else should you be on Italy, and the middle weekend in March, you're always in Clonakilty.
Exactly, I'm looking forward to travelling myself. Look, Sean, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Look, we might get you on maybe around the time of the rally as well, maybe with a couple of crews ahead of the Circuit of Kerry, but for now, thanks very much for joining us.
That's very good, thank you, Alan.
Brilliant stuff. That's Sean Moriarty there, Deputy Clerk of the Course for the Circuit of Kerry Rally, taking place on April 2nd, the launch on Wednesday, March 22nd at 7:30 in the Rose Hotel. Lots to come in the second hour, but it's time for news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
So a chilly enough night out there, so do be careful if you are out and about on the roads this evening. It is Ivan Hurley in for Donal Barry this evening for the next hour or so until 8 o'clock. You can get in touch with the programme. You can call us on 066-712-3666. You can text 083-300-3300. You can email us at terracetalk@radiokerry.ie, or you can tweet us at terracetalkrk. So plenty of different ways that you can get in touch with the programme this evening. Donald did an interview before Christmas with Joe Mahertig and Jerome O'Shea. Was that a book on Jerome or just extracts? That's from Kevin Richardson in Queensland. Kevin, great to hear you're listening to us from that distance. Thanks very much for tuning in to Radio Kerry this evening. I'll check that with Donal when he's back next week, Kevin, so I'll make a note of that in the diary, and I'll find out from Donal just to be wrong to give you an incorrect answer, let me put it that way. So it's St. Paul's Killarney who have won the Southern Conference of the misquote.ie Women's Division 1. They did so with a 75-54 win over Mighty Talca Rovers over the weekend. So that means now that they've set up a game against Phoenix Rockets in the National Basketball Arena next Saturday, and a place in the playoff final to come from that one if they're victorious. Delighted to say joining us now is Lynn Jones and Rhiann O'Shea from the St. Paul's ladies basketball side. Ladies, you're very welcome to show, and congratulations on winning the Southern Conference.
Thanks very much.
So Lynn, starting with you, look, it must be, you know, a fantastic feeling to top the group and head into these playoffs now the weekend.
Yeah, that was the aim, you know, to top the group and give ourselves the best possible chance. It's a seeded affair, so by coming top in the Southern Conference, it means you play two above. Now, as it happens, I suppose they're both very strong teams from above, but we just wanted to win our last game and make sure we came out on top and kind of go into next weekend on a winning momentum that might carry us forward, we were hoping.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Lynn. I mean, look, it must be important to kind of keep a winning run going and heading into, you know, a glorified semi-final like that to come in on winning form.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you get a feel for winning, it's all you want to keep doing. And we're coming off the back of some very good wins the last couple of weeks. And so that momentum will carry with us, hopefully, into the weekend coming now.
Just having a look at kind of the North Conference, looking on the Basketball Ireland page a little earlier on, they kind of mixed the kind of Division 1, the North and South Conference in. You would have come third behind the Phoenix Rockets and the Cavan Eagles. The North section of this would be very strong, would it?
Second, I'd say probably Kevin. I'd say topped it on the most wins. I think we were second, as far as I know. But yeah, they're two very strong teams above Kevin. It's their first year in the league as well. But they had a pick from three American players, and they have a good Spanish player as well. And then Phoenix Rockets are there for a while, and again, very, very strong Irish players. So we just played them recently, actually, in the last month. We played both of them. We came out, we lost both, but you know, they were close affairs. The Kevin game was a point in double overtime. Mm-hmm. After a long journey, and then we travelled with only 7 players as well to Ulster 3 weeks ago now. So, you know, we didn't get, I suppose, a true look at it, but we know it's ahead. It's going to be a tough match, but we're ready for it now at this stage.
Yeah, Rhiann, jumping into you. I mean, look, it's a long old season till now, 17 games, but I'm sure you're primed and ready now for the semi-final berth, or the playoff, as they're calling it.
Yeah, absolutely. As Lynn touched here, we're after a very busy schedule, travelling up to Belfast, up to Cavan, and then also to Tala. Be the home game, then the weekend's gone, and obviously with the momentum of winning, we'll be hoping to bring that for us now to the weekend. I suppose it's been already a hugely enjoyable year so far, so hopefully we can go on now with that winning momentum and finish off the season with more silverware now in the pocket, which would be great for us.
Yeah, no, it's great to have the ladies' side in Killarney, and you know, to get to this stage is an achievement in itself, but I'm sure you want to push on now and go one better.
Yeah, I suppose like St. Paul's have always, the basketball has been always huge in Killarney, and it was such a pity to not have a team for this long. So even the crowds in the presentation hall at the weekend was just fantastic to see, and sporting basketball heads around the place. And hopefully, we can hopefully maintain that history going forward and win the league, and hopefully push on to Super League Cup then hopefully next year.
Yeah, exactly. And how important have the likes of Sophia Pasca been to the team as well throughout the year?
Oh, phenomenal. They've been serious leaders, and also between the squad, we have a great spread of youth and experience, which really, like, it has helped us bond a really close relationship. And as a result, we're a really tight-knit group, and hopefully we'll bring that now the weekend, and a lot of leaders on the team, so it's great to have that.
I meant to start off by saying that congratulations to both of you. You got a joint Player of the Year award, I believe.
Thank you.
It's great to be recognised like that at this stage of the season as well.
Yeah, it is, in fairness. With all the hard work that's gone into it, like, we have to thank the work that went on behind the scenes as well, and also we have a fantastic coach, and the setup has been top-notch, very professional, and the trainings have been excellent, and we've been also very looked after, so that has to come down to it too. Like, if you're going to put in the work, then obviously you want to make the results in as well by winning, so it all comes behind the scenes too, which is great.
Absolutely. And look, it's going to be a busy weekend for you with that game, and hopefully into the playoff final. Is it two wins to get into the Super League, is that how it works?
So we have to win the semi-final on Saturday, and then also the final on Sunday, and then I think the winners have to go up.
So it's just the winner. So it's going to be tough. I'm looking online at the final schedule for the following day. Is that an issue to you, or are you kind of used to playing maybe on a couple of double game weekends throughout the year?
Well, I suppose we had the benefit of having that 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. We had to travel all the way up to Belfast on the Saturday, and we had to come down the road, and we had to play in the Aura on Sunday. So I suppose we're used to that, and we've been working off a busy schedule, so hopefully hopefully the big game now in Tasha will take care of business, and then we'll have a sports bus going up as well to cheer us on the Sunday, so it'll be good atmosphere.
Yeah, look, Lynn, I'll leave the final word to you on this. Look, it's going to be a massive weekend, the history of St. Paul's as well. You know, there's probably a small bit of expectation on you. Could you kind of stay away from that and just go out and play your game on Saturday, and if you win, you're looking ahead to Sunday?
I think so. That's all you can do, you know, as we all have, you know, normal life this week, and there's work and there's family and all sorts of things going on. You know, we have to get over Saturday. I think the team that's there is too good not to. We deserve to be there, but that's no good on the day if you don't go and take it with two hands. And you know, we found that out the hard way in January in the cup, and we came up slightly short. We're ready, the work is done. If we show up on the day, I'd have no fear of us. Now, us Rockets are a formidable team, of course they are, and the two games on the weekend is going to be tough for everyone, but you know, whoever else makes the final is going to be in the very same boat, and I think the depth and strength of our squad will show then, you know. I do think the best squad is going to win it on the weekend, because it is hard to play two games in a row, you know. At a high, and the intensity will be huge on the Saturday, and it's going to be whoever, you know, gets through that game or recovers the quickest and is more focused on the Sunday will come out the win. And as I say, we're in a great position. It's all to play for. I don't think there's going to be much between whoever wins it at this stage, but we're ready and we're really looking forward to the occasion.
Absolutely fantastic. Look, Lynn, Rhiann, thanks very much for joining us, and what's a busy week for you, and with the very, very best of luck. We'll keep a close eye on progress over the weekend, and best luck and fingers crossed from all of us here in Terrace Talk for you as well.
Thanks very much.
No bother at all. That's Brianna O'Shea and Lynn Jones there, of course. As I say, the St. Paul's Killarney ladies side into the Miscourt.ie Division 1 playoffs, so a semi-final on Saturday and a potential final on Sunday to make it up into the Super League, the Miscourt.ie Super League basketball. It should be fantastic for the Killarney side as well. So if you have any views on any of that, you can give us a text. It's 083 300 3300. You can give us a call on 066 7123666. We'll be chatting rugby after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Yeah, that it is. You're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and it's Ivan Hurley in for Mr. Donald Barry this evening on an action-packed Terrace Talk show. We've had football to hurling to motorsport to basketball and now to rugby, and not forgetting Jay Galvin, of course. Jay, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. Welcome back to Terrace Talk. How are you?
Thank you, Ivan. No, very good. Can't complain at all. After last weekend, I have no complaints.
I was just going to say, I don't think there's many rugby fans in the county complaining this morning of it being a Monday or anything else. Look, a game that Ireland were tested for a lot of the first half, but that kind of spell of maybe 10 or 15 minutes early in the second half, crucial for Ireland's victory.
Absolutely, yeah. Scotland came out with some very good results. They were, you know, they'd beaten England. They had coming into that game, they were full of enthusiasm, you know, the pre-match excitement there, the drama. The Scots are very vocal, you know, they were supporting their team, and it was a real struggle for the first half in particular, and they put Ireland to the test, and that's what we wanted, really. And then the second half, you know, we went in a point up, but second half, Scotland never pushed on, and then that's where we really came into our own, and we had that magic spell, you know, that 10 to 15 minute spell where we just pulled away from them, and you could see the Scottish heads dropping then. They knew that the game was up at that stage. Despite all the adversity that we had, all the injuries and players out of position, and that, to me, was probably the greatest test, really, of that team, because if they had won there by a cricket score and not a real test, you know, it showed the depth of the squad and the mental strength of the squad above everything else, you know.
You know, there's been a lot talked about Scotland's during this Six Nations, and you know, a lot of the time we'd be used to kind of a wooden spoon fight between Scotland and Italy over the last, well, however many years you want to call it. You know, they've always been one of the teams you'd be kind of looking at for a victory, Jay, but look, Scotland have really come on this year, and probably in the worst possible year for Ireland looking into the World Cup and them in our group as well. But what have you made of the Scots so far? Look, obviously disappointment for them, but they've been very good.
Yeah, they have. You know, you must look at what they're doing at home. They're two clubs, you know, in Scotland, and you know, their teams behind the scenes, their development and that, and they're getting there slowly but surely. But really, with this game yesterday, Scots came out with all guns firing, with a lot of hype attached to them, and also the hype going into the World Cup. We'll be meeting them in you know, one of our pool games and everything else, and this is going to be a real marker. So where did the Scots go from yesterday? What did they say to themselves? Where did we go wrong? They did nothing wrong. Well, that's what they couldn't score, really. But they played very, very well. They played to their strengths, but we were really, really more powerful. We choked them out completely, and I just think to myself, Andy Farrell going into next weekend, you know, I know we have a lot of injuries. He'll be very happy. But Scotland are a developing side now, and they will begin, they'll learn from that, and they'll take that on board, and they're hurt and they're injured, you know, they're fight, and they will be ready for us again when we get to France. Different time of the year, September, different temperature, warmer in France and everything else, and an awful lot more to play for. And I suppose that shows, I think, yesterday, you need the strength and depth in your panel, because the Rugby World Cup would be very attritional as well. So there's a lot going on there. But I'd be very happy anyway. Really, it's going to be a big weekend coming up, Ivan. I think, you know, the under-20s are in Cork on Friday night for the Grand Slam. What a fantastic group of young lads they are. And bear in mind, they only came together in January. And now you have the senior team. Again, strength and depth. I mean, you know, Caelan Doris went off. And Tacon came in place of him. My gosh, my hit for the moment, Ryan Baird. Ryan Baird just took up where he left off. So that's strength. And then you had Keane Healy playing in the front row. I mean, it's better than that, really, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's a panel with a lot of depth. And look, the next question I was going to ask you probably contradicts what we're saying about depth in the panel, but look, Ringrose and Henderson, look, I mean, they are big losses really to that Ireland starting 15, aren't they? And look, England, we've seen against France again the weekend, you know, a big defeat for them. But you know, don't think anything will get England up for more than a Paddy's Weekend game in the Aviva that can stop Ireland winning a Grand Slam either.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, but the thing about this, we had people who come in and take over there, like Tom O'Toole stepped in there. You know, this guy to take every position. Like, as I said, Ryan Baird came in there in the second row. We have strength and depth. I've probably went to Six Nations games before, seasons, and into World Cup year. We didn't have that strength and depth. Now there's a squad of 45 or 50 guys there that will do that. As for England, England are hurting. But England are in a transition. They're in a poor place. They've changed coaches there, kind of controversially. You know, Eddie Jones went off to Australia, and they're putting all the blame on their out half last weekend. I don't think their out half was at fault. It was all because the pack, their back row were destroyed by France, and the speed of the French game. Mm-hmm. We managed to handle the French game. When they came with that powerful running game, we were ready for them. England and Wales yesterday. I saw one of the English wingers yesterday. He just couldn't run the man. He just wasn't able to get back the pace of them, you know. It's all about the offload in the game as well, and that has changed the whole dynamic of the game. Whereas before, maybe 5 years ago, it was up the middle and hold on to it and set it and go up the middle again. Now the ball is moving very quickly out the back, and forwards are running with back side by side and making that yardage. And it's going to make for an interesting weekend ahead, I know. Mm-hmm. Very confident, but bear in mind again, you did board of caution, you know. But I think this team are level headed enough now, and their coaching team around them, a powerful coaching team as well, have been through it all, and they know exactly where the weak points are and what to watch out for, you know. So
tell me how important or how difficult it is to actually win a Grand Slam. Like, when you put it into context, it's a huge achievement if they do go on and do it, obviously.
Well, absolutely, you know, going away there and playing away games and home games and that, and you know, we have France and England at home, and we've three away games. Now, I was in Rome, actually, incidentally, and you know what? We struggled in Rome, and the Italians put it up to us. And you know, any team going away, no matter what code you're in, like Kerry going up to Tyrone or up to Donegal, you know, it's been put up to them. It's very hard to win away. It's good to win at home. It's easier to win at home because you have the crowd behind you and everything else. But yeah, they are conditioned mentally now as much as physically. I think they're very strong in their heads. And as a fellow, good friend of mine there, Mike Keenan, always said to me, you can be 99% fit, he says, it's that last 1% on the top of your head that can make the difference on the day. And it's that mental strength. And they seem to have that confidence now. And Scotland threw everything at them. I mean, Italy gave them a right good run for their money as well, you know. And this will stand to them. So to answer your question about that, you're probably better off having the two toughest teams in it, France and England at home, and go away maybe to the three perceived weaker teams. But for Welsh are in that kind of a topsy-turvy situation as well. I'll see the Italians are developing and they're coming well. They have a very good coach now, and they will get better. And yeah, it's not easy to win the Six Nations. I think the key this weekend coming up, it's in our own hands coming into Dublin in the Aviva. Mm-hmm. We have Britain, of course, England coming in, I should say, and having it there, it's all to play for. Big weekend.
It's the sort of game that could make or break your Paddy's Weekend, isn't it? It's just, you know, it's just Ireland against England, Aviva Stadium, you know, Paddy's Weekend. There's just something, it's written in the stars. But like that, if it goes the opposite way, it's a Paddy's Weekend to forget, and Cheltenham and everything else is on. It's a fantastic sporting week ahead.
Well, that's the thing about sport. I mean, you know, you go in everything prepared, and that's the glory of sport. One side will win and one side will lose. You know, also the great camaraderie and the rugby people together from all over, you know, the different teams we play against. It makes for a great weekend. And the amount of people that follow rugby here, because it's national pride, you know, and we get enjoyment out of it. And there is no place to hide in the rugby field. Once you play rugby, like, you know, that's it. You have to have your shoulder to the wheel, and every move you make, and every movement of the team, the ball, and everything else is analysed. And these guys, you know, they put their heart and soul into it. I know they're professional players, but they do give us our money's worth every time they go out and put the jersey on, and you have to be very proud of them. I think it's a great weekend. St. Patrick's weekend, we have the two big matches on, we have a lot of rugby on TV, and we also have Kerry coming down, the Rossies coming down to Kerry. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot going on, and Cheltenham going into the week as well. So, you know what?
It's a busy week for the sports journalists.
complaints department is closed until next week.
Absolutely. I think we could all just take this week off from tonight on, maybe, and sit back and relax.
Surviving, you know what I mean? But it's also there to be enjoyed as well, and people go out and enjoy themselves and have a bit of fun, you know? And you know, it's great to be able to cheer on the team, whether it's local or county or national, you know, fantastic for everybody. And it's great. It's great. Positive. And, you know, I think about rugby as much as in the sport. You know, you get your money's worth for the Irish rugby team. You know, I think this year, and getting ready to go to France for the World Cup, I think this crucial, that game yesterday was, says a lot about where we are, because we were really tested yesterday. And in fairness to the Scots, they put it up to us, you know, and they brought their game, out, and they got a good try, but we choked them. We were able to squeeze the life out of them, and their heads dropped, you know. They knew they couldn't get on, you know, couldn't go forward from there.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic display.
A problem, all right. But you know what? We have players in reserve there that, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about that either. There's a big, deep squad there, and there's plenty of guys available, and we'll come out fighting. It's the strength of the bench as well. The bench proved it yesterday, how good the bench was, because he brought guys in there that could play in different positions. Let's give a small call out there, if you don't mind. Jack Conan, Ballybunion Connections. I mean, he's all his cousins living in Ballybun, and I met him in the supermarket today, and they were absolutely delighted that he made his comeback and he scored a try as well. So
there's always a Kerry connection.
There's always a Kerry connection, and if there is, I'll find it.
And yeah, let us know, give us a contact number as well, we might get him on at some stage. Look, Jay, I were talking in the office today, and you know, I think it's just the old cliche now with Ireland rugby, and you know, this kind of peaking too early sort of a thing of a World Cup. You're like, do you believe in that? Is it kind of a worn out myth?
I do, I think, and I think this Andy Farrell and his team, I mentioned the team earlier on, the team around the team, and the team around the team this time have all been in the boiling pot as players. They've been there, they know exactly what it is, and there's great unity in that team at the moment. They're, I would have no worries in that point of view at all, getting when we get to France. And there's two warm-up games. We'll have the crucial South African game, and then the crucial game again after that would be the game against Scotland. And that will determine who we, if we are successful, obviously, again, going into the quarterfinals. And you, France, or New Zealand, then take your pick after that. So, you know, because England and the other side have the easier side, on paper anyway, at least. But you know what? You got to play what's in front of you, and that's going to make September, October very interesting again for all of us to see how we get on. And you know, with a bit of luck and a bit of patience and a bit of all the other things that go with it, who knows where.
You heard it here first. Jay Galvin said that Ireland are going to win the Grand Slam and the World Cup.
I didn't say the word.
I know we're already having you on. Look, Jay, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And look, enjoy the game if you can at all next weekend. Maybe after 60 minutes when Ireland are leading by 15 plus points, you might start enjoying it then. And
can I just say one thing to you, Ivan, as well, just on this really sad note? A colleague and a friend of mine from the Stacks days, Liam Cairns, God rest his soul, I'd say he was taken from us very suddenly and very quickly. And I know him of old, and I have really sympathy to his family and to his friends and all in the world, you know.
Absolutely. Lovely words, Jay, and thanks for that. And look, Jay, we'll catch up again, I'm sure, when rugby season takes off again at some stage during the year, no doubt.
You're more than welcome, Ivan.
Lovely. Thanks again. That's Jay Galvin there, rugby expert and a good friend of Terrace Talk here. Anytime there's any talk about rugby in the office or in around the streets of the county, Jay is the man to give us his view. And like that, as he said in Rome a couple of weeks ago as well, and a true follower of rugby, in fairness to himself. Thanks very much for Jay for giving his view on Ireland's big win. What you make of it? Look, it was, as he said, a good test for maybe 50 minutes, and Ireland once again showing their quality to push on and now going for that Grand Slam against old rivals England. And Keane Healy said after the game that on red alert for English backlash. Of course, England, as Jay said, kind of under a bit of a period of transition for England, and 53-10 defeat at France. But what more could you guys have up for than travelling to Ireland to try to stop Ireland winning a Grand Slam as well? So no doubt we're in for a fantastic weekend of rugby, and as Jay mentioned, it's a busy weekend of sport. We've got Kerry against Roscommon, of course, next Saturday, and Kerry and Down, of course, playing the hurling on Sunday, and you've got Cheltenham now kicking off at 1:30 tomorrow as well. So it really is a fantastic week of sport ahead, and it's always in mid-March is the sporting fixture of the year. Really, it's one of the ones that comes around every year, and you can't believe it's around again. But Six Nations almost concluding is always Cheltenham time as well, and I see plenty on social media of Kerry people heading over to Cheltenham as well, and safe travels to everybody going over to watch the racing. Once again, it's the pinnacle really of horse racing, isn't it? The Cheltenham Festival for the 4 days into the Gold Cup on Friday as well. So hopefully everybody has a good sporting week, and it ends with a couple of Kerry victories and Ireland victories, and I'm sure a couple of Irish horses winning big races in Cheltenham as well. But we talk about a Kerry team who won an All-Ireland on the weekend as well, just after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Kerry, welcome back to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this evening. Mert Murphy was in touch on the personal phone. He wouldn't even text into the Radio Kerry phone, but he says that I was incorrect in the Kerry Kildare semi-final. If they lose to Offaly, it'll be played in Newbridge on the Saturday, as Kildare versus Meath in the football is the final league game the following day, and then the Bulldozers move in to Newbridge. So if Kildare do lose to Offaly and Kerry are playing them in the hurling semi-final, it'll be on in Newbridge. After all my laughing about bringing us into some back pitch somewhere and giving Kerry a good run for their money in the hurling. Now, myself and Keane have become completely outnumbered in Radio Kerry by St. Pat's, half a Castle Island after landing into us. Lads, there's three cups. I've six lads. It's fantastic to see. You're very welcome into the studio, first of all.
Thanks for having us. Thanks. Thanks.
Pat, I'll start with you on my right. Look, it's a fantastic achievement. I'm sure a long year for the lads, and you've come up trumps with three bits of silverware here as well.
Yeah, it's very nice to be coming in here with three cups. We've had a long year, but it's been a great journey. Started out September, I suppose. You could say it started 6 years ago with these guys. They've been brilliant to work with all the ways through, and it's great that they get the reward this year. Starting off with the Mining Cup, the Kerry competition, then going on winning the Munster, and then over the weekend winning the All-Ireland was really special.
Mm-hmm. We've joined captains, we've got twins to make it even more confusing, so I'm going to look at one and probably call him the wrong name, but I might start with Jack.
Yeah.
To do it, you know, you talk about different clubs and playing with your club, but doing it with your friends from school, you're seeing every day, you're going for the lunch together, brings me back to my school days. It must be a fantastic feeling to do an All-Ireland with them.
Yeah, it's definitely an honour to be playing with the lads we've went to school with the last 6 years. We're great friends, you know, on and off the field, and it's a great team, and we've a great bond made, and look, that showed on Saturday when we got over the line.
Carl, talk to me about your twin brother and both captains. It must confuse a lot of people.
Yeah, I'd say lads are, even the teachers here, 6 years and they still don't know us apart, so.
That must be very handy when one of you don't have homework done and the other fella gets the detention for it.
Yeah.
Connor, you made some big saves, your vice principal tells me.
Yeah, I heard anyway. A lot of people come up to me over since the game the last day, sure. When it happened in the game, sure, I only thought, not being cocky, but that's my job. Like, I was standing in the goals and I saved them, but. Sure, I love people complimenting me, and it's great to hear that I'm doing my job right and all that.
Absolutely. Talk to me a small bit about the game, lads. Look, 2-8 to 11 points sound like a fairly close encounter.
Yeah, we knew before the game, Nobber, they were an unbelievable team. They put up some unbelievable scores, an average winning margin of over 20 points or something. So we knew we'd have to be right on our game, and look, that showed the last day. And we knew after the semi-final as well against Dunmore, we came back from 11 points down. We knew if we were just in and around towards the end of the game that we could get over the line.
Yeah, look, it's like an All-Ireland final. Look, you might look back on it and say maybe you played well or played poorly, but it's all about winning, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the main thing. Just get over the line on the day. You don't care how you do it, so we did that, thankfully.
Killian, you gave a good performance as well, I believe, did you?
Yeah, good stats done anyway.
The big stats, man. And look, I've got John as well. John, I hear yourself and Liam Rosson go back a bit as well, yeah, Mr. Long tells me.
Absolutely, yeah. I've been at this for 30 years now, and it's absolutely remarkable. It's wonderful to be part of it, but I think in fairness, when you bring in coaches like Patrick there, Kerry Minor coach for the last couple of years as well, too, the attention to detail, the absolute doggedness and his self-belief, number one in himself, but also the belief he has in these guys. Mm-hmm. And it has been a remarkable journey from that point of view. It's a real honour to be part of it, because these guys actually are surprised how much he has taught them and how much they've learned themselves. So it's been really, really wonderful. And when it came down to the last day, he said at halftime, again, this is the second time he's done this at halftime, we're down 11 points in one match, we're down 3 points the last day, and he said, I have absolute faith in you guys, we know you're going to win this, and these guys know this, they believe this, so absolutely, you know, fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
You know, it's great for like a school like St. Pat's, but I mean, like, it's a huge achievement, and look, okay, to a lot of people around the country and all Ireland, see, might mean nothing, but like, I'm sure to these lads it was everything all year, and that's your senior competition, and to go out and get the job done must be fantastic.
It is, yeah, definitely. Look, we're a small school, but what we do, we try and do right. As the boys said, we've a great band, and I suppose that helps with a small school. All the boys know each other. So we've got third years, TYs, fifth years, sixth years, all on the panel, and in a bigger school, maybe that might be a bit last. But in our school, they all know each other. They back each other up, and they needed every bit of that on Saturday. And I suppose the way we won it, like, we had a really tough Munster final against Gaelcloch, literally really, really tough semi-final against Dunmore, who are the Galway A champions, and then to finish the job against Knobber, who are just... they were blowing everyone away in the lead up to it. And, you know, credit to the boys, we said and we agreed that after the semi-final we were going to focus on ourselves, we weren't going to look at Knobber too much. We knew what we had to do, we knew if we controlled our own performance that it would be enough, and thankfully it was enough in the end.
You know, when the lads picked up the school bags back in August, heading back in, maybe the togs and jersey and the gear bag going as well, did you think maybe come the 13th of March you'd be sitting on Terrace Talk talking about an All-Ireland win? It must be a huge journey. Like, I just, you know, you talk about club, and you know, a lot of clubs expect kind of, you know, long runs maybe into Munster and everything else, but Joe, for a school like St. Pat's and Cast Island, you know, do lads when they're picking up those school bags in August think that this is a possibility?
Yeah, I suppose, look, with these guys, we knew we had a special bunch before the year started, just from the previous years, but we played our first game, it went extra time, and you just kind of got a sense that there was something different about these guys. You know, they had talent, a lot of our teams have talent, but they just had that X factor. They had a lot of stuff that you can't coach as well. You know, they were dogged, they don't like being beat. And now they're role models in our school at the moment now, and it's for the younger guys now to look up to them and start their own journeys and try and win their own silverware over the next couple of years.
Absolutely. Does that start when, you know, they come in from, you know, the primary schools into the secondary school? Does that kind of instill into them now from the start that, you know, by the time you get to Leamington, so you're playing the various different competitions up along, but you want the strongest team come sixth year for these lads, and to hopefully not distract from the studies too much, but to get to another All-Ireland and land in here with these cups again? Like,
yeah, I suppose, look, we're very lucky with the clubs that are feeding into us. We have 7 clubs represented, and Joe, they're doing great work in the clubs, and it's testament to them, and it's a great reward for them. And Joe, they've really backed us in the last couple of weeks, and anything we've asked for, trying to get players, get them training, pitches, everything, there's been never any problem, so that really, really helps. And then, yeah, absolutely, the guys coming in now from primary schools, it's great that, look, they have something to look up to and something to look forward to. It's, obviously, it's not all about winning, it's not all about cups. There's been plenty of years we've had success, but maybe haven't finished with cups. But definitely, when you see 3 of them on the table in front of you, now, yeah, it is nice to, it's nice to get those two.
Absolutely. And Conor, like, coming in, you know, as we say, winning All Ireland with the school, you know, it's with your friends, it's with everyone else, you know, I mean, we talk about the clubs coming in, you know, you're all from different areas around Castle Island, and coming into with your best friends, is how do you find the difference between maybe club football and into the school football?
No, with club football, you see, we're all newly seniors on the team, so we'd all be growing in as the young lads, whereas then you wouldn't be as calm and composed with all them lads. But when you're playing with the school, being with these lads, the two lads beside me now for 6 years now, the bond, you just do get it, like an unbreakable bond, like we're just going to be friends forever though, like. And you can tell, we play for Kieran, St. Kieran's as well, the local district team, and that team's going strong as well. And the bond you make with these boys makes just winning all 3 of these even special, more special.
Yeah, there's definitely something about it, like, you know, I played with the school in Clarendon for a bit as well, and played with the college, but it's something that, like, as you say, like the lads that you're heading out on lunch with, like, there's definitely something special, you know, about that. And I don't know how to describe it, like, the school's football is, it you know, we talk about the semi, I suppose, in Kerry, really, when you're talking about, you know, Kerry school's football. But it's great to see other schools, the likes of from Cast Island as well, getting on and winning these All-Irelands. To the twins, you must have very proud families to have 2 medals in the house coming in.
Yeah, our parents are very proud now, the Leicester, I'd say. My dad won't like me saying this now, but he was crying after the game anyway, so
that's great though. But like, I mean, it's that emotion. I mean, look, to have 2 lads, I must imagine that you're tough when it comes into, you know, growing up with 2 boys of the same age, but on a day like that, I'm sure they're very proud of you as well.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Look, lads, the clock is ticking. There's a couple of messages in. Murray Daly and Scarter Glen, congratulations to St. Pat's for the win at the weekend, and congrats to St. Pat's boys on a massive achievement. It was the most exciting game that I've been to in some time. The atmosphere was electric. Was the atmosphere electric there?
Yeah, there was some crowd there.
Was there a good buzz?
Yeah.
And it was in Carlow, wasn't it? So a long spin up for a lot of people.
Yeah, about 3 hours. So we brought a good few supporters up. So we're very thankful for them as well.
Brilliant stuff. There's a past pupil of the school in as well. They're all coming in now. They're all texting in. Big congrats to the lads with them winning all around them this year. They've been scoped out now for the Kerry Minors. What do you reckon? Are we going over age for minor at this stage?
Yeah, we're too old for that now. So
you'll be going from the 20s. There are a few of you on the O'Shea's mind for the under 20s, and there's one more in as well. Congratulations to the St. Pat's school team, mentors and staff, and a major achievement on Saturday from all in Kerry Post Primary Schools Committee. That was from Christy Clean. So some lovely messages. It must be great for the lads to hear that as well, coming in. The support for them all year has been fantastic. I'm sure a lot of fellas might have snuck out of a couple of classes to get to a few of the games as well. Am I allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say that. Yeah, look, there was great support from within the school and outside the school.
For Mr. O'Donovan, Dennis O'Donovan, and for Tim Long especially, I mean, we've been out and we've been dosing classics. That's not fair, but at the same time, the amount of people who actually then fill in for us when we're gone, who let us out to training sessions when they could be doing geography, history, whatever. So that support is fabulous. But to Dennis O'Donovan and Tim Long, it's just wonderful. Yeah.
Is it back to the studies now, lads? Big leaving cert coming up?
Yeah, we kind of forgot about the leaving cert the last 2 weeks, but I suppose we better get down studying again now in the next few days.
You better not take the mock results into any regard so and put the heads down. But look, I mean, what more motivation now to go in and finish off the leaving cert and, you know, get into maybe colleges and Sigerson football and everything else. You know, there's a huge career ahead of you all, lads, and the very best look. And look, thanks very much for coming into us this evening as well. It's very much appreciated.
Thanks very much.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Okay, welcome back to Terrace Talk, and like in Cheltenham, I think we're over the final hurdle now and on the home straight this evening. Still a couple of chances to get in your comments. It's 083 300 3300, or you can give Keane a call on 066 712 3666. Fantastic to chat to all the lads from St. Pat's and Castleite, and their great success for them in that All-Ireland C final. And it's back to the studies now, I think, for a lot of them in the next 2 months before the leaving cert exams begin. And we wish them all the very best, and a hugely proud day for all their families and their for the school as well in Castleite, and of course, and bigger and better things to come. I think chatting to Mr. McCarthy, Pam McCarthy there, I think there's a fierce interest in football now in the school to push on and get even more success into St. Pat's in Castleite. And well, it was a tough night at the office, really, for Kerry FC on Friday evening. Travelled myself to Galway, where Galway United were big winners, 9-1 on the night, and probably a small bit of a rude awakening and a proper welcome into the SSC or Tricity First Division. We're going to cross the boundaries maybe at the moment, and we're going to chat to a man from Galway, of course, and he was on commentary duty for Galway Bay FM in the press box in Eamon DC Park on Friday evening. That's Jonathan Higgins. Jonathan, you're welcome to Terrace Talk again. How are you?
How are you, Evan? It was good to see you Friday night. Hope you made that long trip back. I felt bad for you, I have to say.
It almost felt like I was reversing down the road, I'll tell you that. It was
I said, the wind at your back end, I was like, put it that way.
No, absolutely not. But look, I mean, look, John, it looked obviously disappointing for, I suppose, the Kerry FC supporters. Look, just, but you have to remember, just 4 games into a new season against a team of, you know, strong professionals in Galway, and a team that are really chasing for promotion out of the division this year and into the Premier Division.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. I have to confess now, I did feel bad given the circumstances. I did fear the worst when I looked in the warm-ups, and you just saw the physical difference of size between both sides. You have Galway, which the majority of those guys are in a full-time outfit for now for going on the best of two and a half years. They're in gym programs, you know, big. There's a lot of processes being put in place off the pitch, and you could just see the difference in size, really, couldn't you? I'm sure you noticed as well, Ivan, between the players involved. Kerry looked like a smaller bunch of guys. It was just a huge physical size, and you know, that's one aspect. And then as well, and it doesn't matter how good or how bad your team is, when your keeper has a difficult night at the office as well, it really doesn't help the situation. And once the opening goal went in, which was fortunate enough, it just felt like a long, long night. And but like, I wouldn't get too downhearted, really. Like, they're still, you can see it's a side that still like to play a lot of football and have some tidy footballers there as well in it. And just unfortunately for I suppose Kerry point of view, is that Galway team is considerably better from the team from last year. They've really, really added an edge. They've added a different aspect to them, and they just kind of one of those nights where pretty much everything could go right from a scoring aspect. And it's probably it's a blessing in disguise in a way that's become, you know, four games into it. It will allow an opportunity to move on quickly. The good thing about the way the League of Ireland does and the marathon nature of it is that it does come around pretty quickly. But it was just a difficult night. I'm sure that was a nasty trip home.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But look, I mean, listening to Billy Dennehy doing, you know, press duties today, and hearing the whole thing throughout the week here on Radio Kerry. But you know, he was chatting today about, you know, you say Galway fully professional setup, probably training 4 or 5 days a week. You know, can train during the day. You know, a lot of this Kerry setup, and again, it being so new, was that, you know, Billy said he had to take four lads out of school, out of classes in school to make the trip to Galway at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to make it up for the Friday evening game. So I mean, like, you're talking a huge difference in both kind of, you know, professionalism, I suppose, in a way. Not saying that the Kerry or Seaside aren't professional. That's what I mean, is it's in paid footballers against the amateurs, and you know, definitely a building year, of course, for Kerry FC, and that's what everyone expected. And look, obviously, tough night at the office, but looking at the first couple of games, not sure have you had the chance to see a couple of them, but I mean, look, a well-earned point against Treaty at home at 10 men, I suppose, look, it was kind of a result that a lot of people mightn't have seen coming, but it's something that's definitely come back from. And you know, I think chatting to you in the press box the last day, you said, like, you know, Galway were on the end of these results for a while, and look where Galway are now. It's a lot of it is down to progression.
Oh, absolutely, and I think you are focusing on that. I think it's just unfortunate that the goal we have hit, probably, even for us, probably have hit the start of the season in a lot better form than many would have anticipated. Mm-hmm. Like, you go back for Galway United, you think back to the Markerfields at the end of last season, where pretty much Galway were booed off and hounded off after that very disappointing result in the playoff against Waterford. But you have Kerry, and you have a lot of teams there. I think just at the moment, Galway are just... they're a good bit ahead of the pack at the moment now. Whether Galway will stay there for that length, who knows? But from a Kerry point of view, you're right. Like, there is a big split there. And the way the nature of the playoffs is set up as well, in a year's time, you wouldn't rule out a rush to the playoffs, because, you know, it's getting fifth in that division is pretty achievable. And you just see a lot of the players there. I was very impressed, despite the nature of the results and the performance going around. Like, you got a wonderful goal. Like, the goal that you scored was a wonderful goal, and probably one of the best of the night, perhaps. And, you know, a lot of tidy footballers there as well. So it's very much the old cliche, and it will, at risk of sounding patronising, there, you know, there's plenty of goals where they're stick with it. Going, you know, there's plenty of horrible nights like this, as we touched on, and there's plenty there to grow for. Because getting success, you look at Treaty come into the league, what, 2 years ago now, and look where they are now. They're, you know, kind of established table there, but halfway mark, coming through, fighting for it. I think there's huge more benefits, and have, I suppose, ample opportunity for Kerry here as well. So I certainly wouldn't be getting too doom and gloom yet. And as I said, get on to the next night and keep on going. It could be the best thing that could have happened in a weird way. It might have just have put a handbrake on expectations and just make things realise where you're at, and get things focused. And maybe, Does Billy need to look and try and get a bit more experience down the spine of the team, perhaps? I don't know. It's a difficult one, isn't it? But you can't really bear much into that Friday night result, because you've Galway in full form, and Kerry just kind of the new kids on the block still.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, it's away to Wexford now on Friday evening. Another tough spin, but look, the buy-in to this whole project in Kerry has been huge. You know, I mean, the two sellouts in the opening two games, at Long, hopefully going on sale this week, and looking likely by interest texts in here and calls and everything else, that it's looking likely to be another sellout no matter what the results. So I think, you know, the whole idea of the project is definitely being bought into down here. And you know, while you're on, Jonathan, I might just ask you that, maybe take it away from the last results, and let's say just before Friday evening at 7:45, you know, what's been the, not just in Galway, but in the national terms, what's been the talk about Kerry FC and coming into the league? It seems to have been welcomed by everybody.
Oh, it absolutely is, Ivan. I think everyone is excited. It's the one thing that the if you look at League of Ireland football at the moment, it is too much Dublin based. Now, there's a kind of a weird split, isn't there, really, between the Premier and the First Division this year. The way kind of the with UCD staying up and Waterford staying in, it's kind of flipped it back the other way. So now you almost have the extremes of the around the pale, if you want to really go to that extreme. So it is. Look, I'm, you know, as you know, Ivan, we've gone back a long way. We're big football fans as well, soccer fans as well, and I think it's vitally important that football is spread around to all four corners of the country, really. And it isn't just seen as a kind of a conveyor belt of players where they jump from one club to another in Dublin. I think it does need to be spread out and it needs to be brought. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, isn't there, maybe about a third tier being introduced as well at some stage. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see? And add a bit to more. You only have to look at all the clubs that have kind of fallen away in recent years, you know, your Monans, your Kildares, etc., etc. Kenny, I beg your pardon. It would be wonderful. Yeah, no, it's definitely been welcomed with open arms. And I know for sure, even just from the novelty point of view, we're all looking forward to the trip down in a couple of weeks' time now, isn't it? The 21st of April, if I'm correct, down. So we're all looking forward to that. It's a new novelty. I think some of us are in with taking the plane down as well, just to add another bit of extreme to it as well. But it is very open. I think it is important that football is spread around to the four corners and spread a bit more. And we've a league that's you know, it's blossoming at the moment, and it's great to see so much interest. Now you're telling me about the season ticket sales went through the roof and packed out. So let's hope it stays that way, because isn't it great to have such good entertainment on our doorstep on a Friday evening?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Jonathan. And like that, we've hit injury time. We've gone into added times. So, look, Jonathan, thanks very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule this evening and chatting to us. And that hopefully we'll see you down the kingdom when Galway come to town again.
Yeah, well, and I think you can safely say as well, when you come up in 2 weeks' time for the big ball, I don't think the scoreline will be as dominant on one side.
Yeah, hopefully not. Look, Jonathan, thank you very much indeed for that. It's been an action-packed evening on the show. We've had hurling, football, rugby, football by two, football by three, and of course just chatting Kerry FC there at the end as well. Thank you very much for everybody who sent in texts and comments. We got around to most of them this evening, which was great. And Dawn Barry will be back in the hot seat next Monday evening, of course, looking back at the Kerry footballers and the Kerry hurlers next weekend. But for tonight, this has been Ivan Hurley. Good night. Thanks for listening. Mary Conroy is up next. Thanks for Keane on the phones and sound. He was a busy man this evening. We'll do it all again next Monday night.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.